Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying tale is about a group of friends who had planned this week-long camping cabin expedition with each other to get away from work, the drama, stress of just life itself. And what happens to them on this little adventure of theirs will terrify you. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe. Click on that bell and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Some nights, when I'm lying in bed, I can still hear the screams of my friends as their last breath was took. They took in pure agonizing terror. I turn on some music or a podcast to try to drown out the cacophony of mystery to no avail. My therapist tells me that I'm dealing with survivor's guilt because I was the only one to make it out alive that night. I still don't understand why I was left clinging tightly to life, but the answer may be much more sinister than I could have ever predicted. I did not come out of that night unscathed, however. I have large, jagged scars that run down the length of my back that serve as a reminder of that fateful night in the mountains with my best friends. I never told anyone the full, clear story of what happened in those mountains. Not the police, not my therapist, and certainly not my family. I'd certainly just end up in a hospital with my mental health being monitored every day. This fact alone is why I am writing this to all of you. I need advice. Something bad may be happening to me. We had all been planning the ski trip since the summer months. The four of us didn't have much time to all get together because of our job situations and generally life itself. Rose's grandparents had a large winter cabin up in the Smokies that was passed down to her when they passed away. We all loved our annual winter trips, and this time, we didn't have to spend so much renting out a cabin to stay in. It couldn't have been more perfect. The morning that we were set to head to the cabin, I volunteered to drive, since my Jeep had good traction and four-wheel drive. We knew that it would be snowing pretty hard on our week-long stay, and we didn't want to risk an accident on the roadways. Tyler was the first of the three that I picked up that morning. He was so full of life, and I remember his perky attitude and ability to make me laugh really helped in waking me up on the drive. Sarah and Rose lived close to one another, so Tyler and I stopped at Rose's house to get them both. They hopped in, throwing their bags in the trunk and laughing about something they had seen on Facebook that morning. The drive to the cabin was an uneventful 3-hour journey. We spent the time catching up with one another, talking about jobs and relationships. Tyler had just come out to his family, and he vented to us about the strain that it had put on their family gatherings. He made it into a kind of a joke, though, of course. That was just the kind of person he was. Rose was a beautiful and intelligent brunette, and was finally engaged to her long-term boyfriend of 5 years. It took him long enough to propose, we joked. Rose was an incredible person to be around, and we knew that her fiancé was one lucky man. Sarah was the most serious of the group. Tall, blonde, and fully at home in a suit, she put most of her time into her job. She had to make a vow that there was to be no work calls during the duration of our trip. We planned on using this time strictly for us. My job as a police officer kept me busy most of the time, and I knew I really had to focus on this outing and leave work at home. I was stressed, and I had coincidentally had one of the worst cases I had ever had assigned to me just prior to our trip. I needed this more than anything. We arrived at the cabin early, around 10 a.m. I immediately felt so peaceful the moment I stepped out of my Jeep. The snow was falling lightly, and the landscape in this mountainous region of the Smokies was simply picturesque. We all took a moment to breathe in the fresh mountain air, smiling to one another. I believe in that moment, we all felt that same peaceful feeling wash over us. It was absolutely beautiful. The cabin itself was something picked straight out of a Hallmark movie. The large two-story wooden cabin reminded me of ones I had only seen in magazines. It truly was something out of a fairy tale. We finally gathered our belongings and took them into the house, settling into the four bedrooms that were on the second floor. That night, we made a huge bonfire in the fire pit directly behind the house near the tree line. We did all the usual bantering and laughing loudly as we had a few drinks by the fire. It was one of the most peaceful and beautiful nights of my life. "So, Derek," Tyler turned his body to me from across the fire. "Any nice ladies in your life? It's about time that you settle down." I laughed. They were always on me about getting a nice girl and figuring out life with her. I then shrugged. "I don't know if it's in the cards for me right now. You know I'm going to be wrapped up with that case as soon as I get home." Tyler poked at the fire, a sudden look of pity on his face.
"I'm sorry, bro. I just want to see you happy."
He looked up to me and smiled. The others agreed out loud. Rose, who sat directly beside me, put her hand on my shoulder.
"You've got all the time in the world, Derek. We just like to mess with you."
I smiled at her. She was always so kind and gentle of a person. They knew better than to ask about the cases that I was involved in. Sometimes the details were very gruesome, and they did not want to put a damper on our trip, especially the first night. So, thankfully, we dropped the conversation and started talking about Tyler's love life instead. After some hilarious stories about Tyler's grinder adventures and some good hearty laughing, we decided to head in for the night. The others were walking ahead of me towards the cabin when I heard it for the first time. A branch had snapped just loud enough for me to hear, followed by a low, quiet growl. I stopped dead in my tracks and turned to the woodline right behind me. I stared into the darkness, attempting to make out any silhouette I could see.
"Derek, it's cold. Come on in,"
Sarah yelled from the cabin, nearly causing me to jump out of my skin. How long had I been standing there? I took one last look at the dark forest before I turned and walked back to the cabin. I didn't bring up the sound that I had heard to my friends when we got inside. Looking back, I wonder if that would have changed how things turned out. Maybe if I had just said something. Instead, we bid each other goodnight and headed to our rooms for the night. I laid in bed restlessly thinking about the case I was facing when I got back. I worked in the major crime unit, and the case I was working just so happened to be a murder case. The details aren't important, but the case had me steadily fighting for sleep. I eventually fell into a fitful and dreamless sleep around 1300 hours. When I woke that morning, I felt utterly exhausted. I eventually got out of bed when the gentle scent of bacon and eggs drifted into the confines of my room. I slipped on a shirt and headed downstairs to see all of my friends gathered around the large kitchen. Sarah and Rose were fussing over breakfast, while Tyler sat at the small table and sipped on some coffee.
"I'll definitely have some of that," I gestured to his mug.
He smiled and jumped from his seat, heading to the coffee machine and grabbing a mug from the cabinet. I grabbed the chair and pulled it to the table as Tyler handed me the coffee. He took a sip and smiled at me.
"We have quite a day planned out if you're interested."
I smiled back. "Of course I'm interested. What's your plan?" He looked to the girls and then back at me.
"We're going on a hike, of course. It'll do you good to get out in nature, Derek."
I shrugged and took a sip of my coffee. Rose poked her head over Sarah towards me.
"I know this place like the back of my hand. What do you say we camp out tonight?"
Why would we camp out if we have a perfectly nice cabin here? I thought to myself.
Sounds like a good time, I reckon.
I pushed all the invasive thoughts of the snow and getting lost out of my head as the girls finished up their cooking. We ate breakfast rather quickly, and packed our bags with all we needed for the campout. Tyler had brought a large tent that we could share, apparently expecting a night of camping out. I still didn't really understand why we'd camp out in the snow after a day of hiking, but I didn't want to damper the mood. I liked to just go with the flow of things, especially when I was trying to keep my mind off of work. As we set out on the wooden path, my mind brought me back to the sound that I had heard the night prior. All that I could think about was how we were walking in the same forest that I had heard that spine-tingling sound from. Unfortunately, this was another moment I could have said something, anything, and could have saved the lives of my friends. Instead, I kept my mouth shut and hurried along to catch up with my friends and their conversation.
I can't believe you've never seen Game of Thrones, Sarah. You need to take some time out of your schedule and get on that, Tyler said as he huffed along. Sarah looked over at him. I do not have time for TV shows, Tyler. You know this. Tyler just shrugged. We had gotten pretty decently into the trail at this point. My mind drifted between all facets of my current life as the others chatted away. The one that had stayed in the back of my head, causing a strange and unsettling feeling, was what I had heard after the bonfire. My mind did all it could to make sense of it. Bears weren't prevalent in this area of the Smokies. But what could have made that noise? How big was it? Were we in danger?
Derek, snap out of it!
I was jolted out of my thoughts as Rose stopped and stared straight into my eyes.
We were asking if that clearing looked like a good place to set up camp, and you were completely zoned out.
She crossed her arms and stood still in front of me. I'm sorry. Just got my mind on work. I'll snap out of it, I promise. She gave me a glare as I looked to where she had gestured. It was a beautiful area, almost a circular open field in the middle of the surrounding trees. It overlooked a steep cliff. I bet the sunset here would be just perfect, I replied, smiling at Rose to attempt to ease her growing annoyance with me. She relaxed a little and smiled back. Tyler led the way through the path as we entered into the circular field, and we began to set up camp. We had been hiking for a few hours now, and it was a good place as any to go ahead and set up. Rose and Sarah spent most of the afternoon taking photos for Facebook and Instagram with the outstanding view in the background. I sat with Tyler and told him stories of the things I had seen working patrol, and we laughed and cut up the whole time. It was almost blissful, and for the first time in a long time, I felt joyful, even peaceful. All of the negativity I had been harboring in the back of my head was pushed to the side, and all I could think of was how amazing my friends were and how much I was enjoying myself. I had not felt this way in a long time, and needless to say, I haven't felt this way since. Later in the afternoon, we started a large fire and cleared out the snow around the campsite. Tyler had placed 2 6-packs that he had laid in the remaining snowbank to keep them cold. I cooked some venison that I had harvested on a hunting trip by the fire for my friends that night. The smell was mouth-watering, and we were all pretty hungry from the long hike we had been on that day. My friends praised my cooking skills as we sat and ate around the bonfire.
I've got to say, Derek, I'd almost eat this over a hamburger or steak. It's delicious.
Tyler raved as he took another bite of his venison. Sarah spoke up too.
I had never had venison before, but I can't believe how much I've been missing out.
She smiled across the fire at me.
I was so pleased with myself and took the time to look around the fire at my friends, all eating my cooking and laughing with each other. That is the picture that I remember in my head of them, and my favorite memory of our trip. The laughing and joking around lasted until the sun set. We were all deep in conversation about different subjects when we all heard it. In the distance, we heard a guttural howling. It sounded almost out of place,
and the surroundings that I had come to see as so peaceful. We all stopped talking and looked in the direction that it came from. After it stopped, we all silently looked at one another. Tyler was the first to speak.
"Hey, Rose, have you ever heard of there being wolves out here?"
he asked as he looked confusingly at Rose. She shook her head as she continued to look in the direction that we had heard the howl.
"No, I've never heard of wolves. Coyotes, maybe, but not wolves."
Sarah spoke out after a bit of silence.
"That certainly didn't sound like any coyote I've ever heard,"
she continued as her gaze drifted back towards the fire. Things got a little quieter after that. I could tell that everyone was a little on edge. I tried a few times to lighten the mood by cracking some jokes, but the others didn't seem as perky as before. This in itself put me back on edge. It seemed like the woods around us became darker than before, and even a little more menacing. Things were pretty tense for a while. Eventually, Tyler suggested that we hit the hay for the night. My mind was still racing, so I decided to stay by the fire for a while longer while they settled into bed. I sat there and nursed the fire for what felt like hours after my friends went to bed. Something did not feel right, and the only thing that calmed me down was the .45 that I had tucked into the back of my jeans. Surely if anything tried to approach our camp, I could take it out fairly easily. Or so I thought. I must have drifted off to sleep out there by the fire, because I awoke suddenly to the most blood-curdling screams I have ever heard in my life. I turned my body towards the tent just in time to see a huge, hairy figure dig its way into the tent. Right on top of my friends, I still could hear their wails of fear and terror in my nightmares to this day. My blood stayed stiff as a board, while my hand slowly moved to the back of my jeans where my pistol was still pressed against my back. At that moment, what little remained of the fire was just enough to illuminate the blue tent. It was coated in red splotches now, and I knew well enough to know what that meant. I grabbed the pistol and quickly aimed it at the beast that was ripping up my friends. I knew they didn't have much time by the way that their screams had dwindled down into gurgles. I thought that I could save them. I emptied the magazine into the creature, disregarding my hearing and the explosive rounds shooting out of the barrel. The part that frightened me the most was after the smoke had cleared. It was completely silent, and the beast was nowhere to be seen. I dropped the now useless pistol to the ground and finally stood up to my feet. My entire body was shaking with a fear that I had never felt before. I knew my friends were dead, and there was a possibility that I was next. Our body's adrenaline is one of the most interesting aspects. Without thinking, I went into a complete rage. I screamed for the beast to come and finish the job. Tears streaming down my face as I kicked the remaining logs in the fire pit, grabbing one that was still well lit and swinging it in front of my face. It was at this time that I felt as though I had been hit by a freight train. It happened so quickly and so suddenly, and I had been screaming so loudly that I hadn't heard the creature approach me. It hit me with the force of a seasoned linebacker and laid me flat on my back, its razor-sharp teeth embedded deeply into my shoulder. The searing pain was unlike anything I had ever felt before. Have you ever been faced with certain death? My body seemed to give up, despite the adrenaline rush that I had moments ago. I closed my eyes and accepted my fate, completely giving up. I knew I couldn't fight this thing, and it could have easily killed me without a second thought. So when I laid there and didn't feel the creature digging its maw into my stomach, I finally opened my eyes. The beast stared into my eyes from mere inches away. But that wasn't the part that set my heart into a frenzy. It was grinning at me. Its hairy, wolf-like face was accompanied by piercing bright orange eyes, as they bore directly into mine. Its teeth were dripping with blood, and that evil grin on its face caused me to hold my breath. What was it doing? Prolonging my death? Making me suffer before it carved my body into pieces? Its face loomed over mine as it continued to smile down at me. My body trembled from my head to my feet, and the scorching pain of the bite on my shoulder was almost unbearable. I couldn't fight the darkness that overcame me. I passed out, right there at the complete mercy of the beast. I awoke screaming on a hospital bed, while the nurses around me sat with looks of pure terror on their faces. I thrashed about as one of them came and injected my arm with some kind of medicine. After about 15 minutes of my continuing thrashing and screaming, I finally calmed myself down enough to look around the room. I watched doctors whispering to the nurses, with a look of utter surprise and disbelief on their faces. I didn't know or understand what was going on. The next day, I woke up feeling wonderful. My body felt strong and my mood was heightened. The nurses ran out of the room when I sat up straight in bed and said, "Good morning," with a smile on my face. The doctor came in that morning rubbing his temples and looking at me over the rim of his glasses as he glanced at my paperwork. "Son, you need to understand something," he began as he sat on the seat next to me. "You being here is nothing short of a miracle. You should be dead." I noticeably cringed. "The animal that attacked you and your friends dug its claws so deeply into your back that you shouldn't be able to move. You shouldn't be able to sit up," he continued after adjusting his glasses and his posture. "You came into this hospital with fatal injuries to your chest and back. What I don't understand, however, is how these deadly injuries seem to heal themselves almost overnight." He looked at me curiously and tilted his head, as if waiting for an answer that I obviously didn't have. I sat speechless as the doctor grabbed a long mirror that sat in the corner of the room. He sat it up in front of me. "Pull up your gown, please." I did as he asked, and my breath stuck in my throat. Just as he said, in place of bloody, jagged claw marks exposing my flesh, were nearly healed red strips down my chest. The doctor handed me a smaller mirror so that I could look at my back. It had the same raised red marks down my back. It was impossible. It is impossible. But there is a much greater problem that haunts my dreams every night. Questions that were never answered. By doctors, my therapist, the police, or anyone who was in the hospital that day. How did I survive and why? On top of the healing, I've noticed differences. I've developed an unhealthy appetite for raw meat. It's all I spend my money on. Sometimes I feel as though I can't get enough. I feel everything so deeply now, and the world seems to almost have more colors in it. Almost every night, I see that beast in my dreams, standing above me and maniacally smiling right back at me. But what had finally made me come to this platform to get advice from you all is what I saw when I looked into the mirror last night. My incisors looked huge, far too big for my mouth. And now, every now and then, I can catch a ting of bright orange in my eyes. So, why did I survive? What happened to me? Most importantly, what is happening to me?